welcome to another episode of Titled Chasers on the 4th of July. Will, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing, Zach?
I'm doing fantastic on this day. So, we have not been on the show since June 27th, and a lot of NBA free agency has transpired. In fact, most has transpired. So, we want to give you a rundown of some of the deals and moves that were made throughout the NBA free agency. Number one, Kyrie and Kevin Durant decide to go to the Brooklyn Nets. And with them comes DeAndre Jordan. So now we have a big three of Kyrie, KD, and DeAndre Jordan. Pretty great. Was not expecting them to go to the Nets. Kyrie, yes. Kevin Durant, no.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting year next year. It looks like the Nets are set to be, you know, a really big team, at least. A lot of people expected KD to go to the Knicks. A lot even said Kyrie might go to the Knicks. Rest in peace to the New York Knicks.
The Knicks?
New York Knicks for another successful free agency year.
Whoa. So, some backstory. The Knicks were in the mix to get Kyrie and Kevin Durant. They had a meeting with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant was very interested in signing there. But because of his injury, they refused to offer Kevin Durant the max. And they also had a scheduled meeting with Kawhi on Wednesday, and they canceled because they didn't want to be on Wednesday. So instead, they decided, you know what? I have a better idea. How about we offer $60 million to Julius Randle? And sign, you know, a couple power forwards. So I think that plan has been bulletproof. What do you think? Well, that sounds pretty Knicks-like.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like the Knicks. The fucking Knicks. Here's to another year of just mediocre performance, okay? It's garbage.
Shit. Here we go again.
Exactly. I just don't get it. They had the cap space. They could have landed a huge superstar.
They had two max slots. They had over $70 million in cap space.
Yeah, and they wasted the biggest opportunity possible to make, you know, a postseason team, you know, a playoff team. And, yeah, it's just absolute garbage.
It's a shit show. And now they sign a bunch of players to two-year deals expecting that in 2021 they're going to get a free agency pick. I doubt it. Is that just their plan now? Or are they just going to go after free agencies and balk every time? Is that what they're going to do? Is that how they're going to rebuild?
Yeah, it's garbage.
Not all hope is lost with the Knicks, though. They got R.J. Barrett, and Mitchell Robinson is a baller. But at the same time, it's the Knicks, and they'll probably fuck it up. They'll probably trade R.J. for, like, I don't know, a can of gummy worms or something. They'll screw it up somehow. The Knicks always do. Respect for Stephen A. Smith. He's trying to keep it together, but he's not having a good life right now. Some other big news. We found our replacement, a.k.a. the Boston Celtics, signed Kemba Walker in a sign and trade. You guys listening to this? In a sign and trade for Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier is now the starting point guard for the Hornets for 3 years, $58 million. We get Kemba. We swap point guards, so they get Terry Rozier, and we get Kemba. I don't know who won the deal. That's a tough call there. It's kind of a coin flip.
So I know we were just going after the Knicks a second ago, but let's be real. The Hornets are such a garbage organization. I predicted that Kemba was just going to re-sign. It's not necessarily where I wanted him to go, but it felt like he really wanted to stay in Charlotte, you know? And he said that, you know, but absolutely terrible. They had the opportunity to keep their superstar, you know? He said he was willing to discount Charlotte, you know?
And the worst part is they discounted him more than he, like, discounted them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yep.
It was so pathetic. I love it when people say, like, oh, well, Michael Jordan's their owner. Exactly. That's the problem. Michael Jordan does not know what he's doing on the executive level. Good for him. He picked up Kemba Walker, but who else did he pick up? He drafted Bismack Biyombo. That's great. They're so garbage. I can't wait for them to be the worst team next year. No disrespect to Terry Rozier. He had, you know, a good run with the Celtics. But he is not worth nearly $20 million a year.
Mm.
Not at all. He is – the Celtics fans, they have a history of overblowing players' talents, thinking every player is Kobe Bryant when they're not, always thinking that they're better than they actually are. Terry Rozier is a backup point guard. Enough. He's not – no. He's not going to be shit.
Mm.
Other news, Al Horford is signing with the 76ers. The Celtics sign Enes Kanter. Good for the Sixers. They get a stretch big going alongside Joel Embiid. I'm really sad that Al Horford left. And I'm honestly a little bummed out that he went to the Sixers. I would have preferred if he went to a team out west. Even the Lakers would be a better option. Granted, they probably wouldn't have signed him anyways, but
yeah,
Al Horford, the fact that he went to one of our biggest rivals, it kind of stung a little bit, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, it did, you know, especially since Al Horford, I think, was a really solid player. But he did publicly talk about some frustrations with the Celtics leaving, you know, leaving last season with the way we got stomped by the Bucks and Kyrie's behavior with the team, you know. So
yeah, another big signing, D'Angelo Russell is going to Golden State. Wasn't going to guess that in a million years, but I think it's kind of an interesting signing. I don't think he's gonna be there long term. My theory is that because Klay Thompson has to recover from his hamstring, that D'Angelo Russell is essentially the one that's gonna be replacing him while he's injured that one season, and then they'll ship him out after. There'll be plenty of suitors. I feel like what they're doing is that they're kind of rebuilding while they're still contending.
Mm.
So they sign a star, and, you know, they're going to be good next year. Everyone's saying they're not going to make the playoffs. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. they went 73-9 without KD, and now they lose KD, and now they're not going to be shit. What changed? They still have Steph. Klay Thompson's going to be back.
Yeah.
And they have Draymond, and now they have D'Angelo Russell. They'll still make the postseason, guys. They're not falling off a cliff. They lost Kevin Durant, a team that helped them win two titles, no disrespect, but they were 73-9 without him. Like, we'll be fine. They'll be okay. They're just tired. They might not win a title next year. They might not win the West for the sixth year in a row, but that doesn't happen anyways, so just fucking relax on Golden State. They're going to make the playoffs next year.
Yeah, yeah.
But they do lose Andre Iguodala. In order to acquire D'Angelo Russell, Iggy is going to Memphis, most likely going to be bought out. Some teams interested are the Lakers and a few other teams contending for a title. It's really sad to see him go because I think he's a really big part of their plans. Golden State, I really like Iguodala quite a bit. Mm. He's a really great locker room presence, but ultimately, you know, it's business, and I'm a little bummed, but, you know, I think Golden State will be just fine.
Yeah.
But the interesting part now with the Warriors is that Draymond has 1 year left on his contract, and a lot of people believe that he's the reason why Kevin Durant left.
Hmm.
I mean, they had that confrontation beginning of the season where he said that they don't need him. And then they obviously just didn't get along. So I think Draymond's going to be too expensive to re-sign.
Hmm.
That's just my opinion. He's going to want the max, and I don't think I'm giving Draymond the max if I'm Bob Myers.
Agreed, yeah.
I don't think Draymond is – I think Draymond's a good player, but I think he's replaceable.
Yeah.
I love his ego, and I love his, like – the intensity he brings, he definitely pisses people off, which I like to see. But if I'm the Warriors, I trade him next year, get some pieces for him. And then if you can re-sign him in the offseason, you try to, but don't offer anything more than maybe $25 million.
Yeah.
Give him a little less than the max. I don't think he deserves it. I don't want them to be in salary cap hell.
Yeah. If they trade him, I don't think he's going to want to sign back, though.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'll be sad if he does leave. I see Draymond, even though it doesn't fit, I'd love to see him on, like, a Pistons team. like a scrappy team, or even the Clippers. That'd be a hell of a spot for him. Like a scrappy team. He's a scrappy dude.
Yeah.
Also, Jimmy Butler goes to the Heat, which I think is so fitting for Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is such a douche.
Yeah.
Can I just say, Jimmy Butler is such a douche.
Have fun barely being a ninth seed.
He makes the team better, but, like, how much better, like, how much better, you know?
I don't think that much better.
Instead of being a ninth seed, maybe they'll be an eighth or seventh seed.
Mm.
They'll get bounced in the first round. Jimmy Butler, all he wants is to have his own team, but you're not good enough to have your own team.
Yeah.
You're so, the way he's ruined the Bulls locker room. He ruined the Timberwolves locker room. And the 76ers locker room, I'm sure he didn't make it any better.
Yeah.
Now he's going to ruin the Heat locker room. And honestly, I don't like Jimmy Butler. I really don't. So, fuck him.
Yeah, he's a little overrated.
A little overrated, and he's a diva.
Yeah.
No wonder why him and Kyrie wanted to link up. Hassan Whiteside is going to Portland. I like that. I don't think he's going to be in their long-term plans, but they have a nice starting center. They lose Kanter. They get Whiteside, who's a good presence down low. So it's been a lot of moves, immediately. It's insane.
NBA, it's awesome.
NBA free agency, I can't keep up with all the damn moves.
It's not like the MLB where we had to wait 3 months for the two biggest free agents to sign.
Yeah, NLB offseason's atrocious. It's absolutely pathetic. And then there's the NBA offseason where, everybody's signing right on the dot.
Yeah.
We knew people were signing before the deadline even started.
Yeah.
It's when it turns 6 o'clock, they will become a Celtic. It's damn, that was quick. Kyrie Irving is going to meet with the Nets at 6 o'clock, and he's signing a max. I'm damn. That was quick.
Woj bombs everywhere, bro.
Dude, he was
it's beautiful.
Dude, Woj, I swear to God, he should be recruited by the fucking U.S. Army. I swear to God.
Chief intelligence officer.
That man dropped so many bombs. It was insane.
Yep.
So exciting stuff. Exciting stuff. Now, the one player who has yet to sign is Kawhi Leonard. And it's definitely down to three teams, the Raptors, the Clippers, and the Lakers. Each team brings a different presence to the NBA. Each brings a different a source of parity. Or in some instances, like the Lakers, it brings a lack of parity. So my question to you, Will, is where do you want him to sign? And, kind of break it down for me, Bose.
Well, there are many different places you could go. Let's start with the Clippers, okay? If they get a superstar like Kawhi, okay, that team is going to improve so much, that's a really awesome team. They got an awesome coach. And if you get a lead star like Kawhi on that roster, that's going to make for an interesting team next year, the Lakers would also be interesting. You have AD, Kawhi, and LeBron. I'd be interested to see how that would work since all three of them are really big players, LeBron being, pretty much the face of the NBA,
Yeah.
He's the guy right now that everybody else is trying to be, in terms of success,
Oh, yeah.
So it would be interesting to see how those three really big names either mesh together or clash,
Yeah. I mean, Kawhi Leonard, I think, wants to have his own team. Doesn't pass often. He's a finisher, which some people argue LeBron's not. I don't know if I agree with that particularly, but you have Anthony Davis, LeBron, who needs the ball, and Kawhi, who needs the ball.
Yeah.
Regardless, though, if you have three of the top five players, you're probably going to win the title,
Yeah.
And depending on how good LeBron is when he comes back, I think LeBron will still be, if not the best player, the second best or third best player. And then Kawhi Leonard, obviously, Kawhi Leonard's arguably the best player in the league. And then you have Anthony Davis, who's somewhere down at probably number four or five.
Yeah.
I think his game's going to get a lot better playing with LeBron and or Kawhi. As far as him going to the Clippers or the Raptors, I don't want him to go back to Toronto. I know some people do. And honestly, looking at what Toronto has done for him, it would be kind of upsetting for them not to get him back. But if I'm watching as a fan, like, do I really want him back in Toronto? No, not really.
Yeah.
That's not interesting to me. Like, they're not going to repeat next year. I think the 76ers are a better team. And then even teams like the Bucks, I think a lot of things went their way in the postseason. You know, the Warriors were super banged up. They beat the 76ers by a buzzer beater. A couple calls go the 76ers' way. They could probably beat them in that series. And then they have the Bucks, who, yeah, they did beat, you know, well. Who knows that the Bucks don't come back with the vengeance next year, you know? And then the Clippers, I just think it's funny that Kawhi is interested in the Clippers. Because throughout NBA history, nobody gives a fuck about the Clippers. The fact that a top five player is meeting with the Clippers and seriously considering them is insane.
Yeah.
And it just shows how far they've come.
Yeah, it shows, you know, if it works out for the Clippers, it could be their chance to, you know, make their staple on NBA history.
I've been at odds with literally every decision. Because, like, if he goes to the Clippers, he's, like, essentially competing against LeBron for dominance in L.A.
Crosstown rivalry. Except not really crosstown, but, you know.
And then, you know, he goes to the Raptors. He stays loyal to them. He becomes the most iconic Toronto player ever. Or he goes to the Lakers, who honestly don't really deserve him the way they've played the last 6 or 7 years. They already have LeBron. They already have AD. If he wants to win, he should go to the Lakers. If he wants to be the man, he should stay in Toronto, or he should go to L.A. For the Clippers. I think the Clippers and the Raptors deserve him more. The Lakers, honestly, like, it would be somewhat annoying if they got Kawhi. They get AD and LeBron and Kawhi, even though they've been run like shit for the last 6 years. Like, that just shows how, you know, how strong their brand would be.
Yeah.
It would just be super annoying. But at the same time, I would probably salivate at the thought of that.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, after winning a title with the Raptors, I could see him still being open to re-signing with them. Only thing is there's not really any other names there that really give him support, you know. Granted, Lowry had a really good performance in the playoffs. There were a couple other players who did really well in Toronto. I think there was a lot of talent displayed there. But Kawhi was the one who carried the team to that ring, you know?
I agree with that.
So,
I've heard a lot of sports shows talk about if he joins the Lakers, it would be a quote-unquote weak move, or that he would become the new villain. I want to know your thoughts on that, but
I don't think so.
Exactly. Like, what the why would
now, if I were him, I'd only sign a 1 year.
With the Raptors?
No, no, with the with the Lakers, but
interesting.
Why? Yeah, it would depend, you know. I would sign a 1 year with the Lakers, for example, just to see how that would work, okay? Because you don't know, the Lakers are on really shaky ground right now with everything that's been going on with them. The Clippers, I would go more than 1 year, perhaps, you know, but I still, 1 year is probably a good bet.
Yeah.
Maybe 2-3 years. Raptors, you could probably do like a 2 year contract. Maybe a 1 year might be better, though.
He might do a 1+1 deal with the Raptors where he would sign with them for one more year, have another chance at a title, and then leave. The issue with that, though, what if they have a terrible season next year or they don't live up to expectations, and then those Canadian fans aren't quite as friendly? Because why wouldn't they be friendly with him now? He brought the team way past expectations than they had the last couple of seasons with DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, yeah.
When they had DeMar DeRozan, they were always the top seed, but nobody took them seriously. They're like, yeah, they're not going to beat LeBron. They go after Kawhi. Kawhi wins them a title. Why wouldn't you be, you know, super excited for him to re-sign?
Yeah.
I think they've been kind of annoying with how they're you know, recruiting him and trying to get him back to Toronto. They've been super clingy. They're like that fucking girlfriend that doesn't go away. Give him some space, man. That's not what Kawhi likes.
Yeah.
As far as him being a villain for going to the Lakers, he requested a trade to the Lakers from the Spurs. The Spurs say, yeah, fuck off. So then he puts the Clippers in the mix. And then they trade him to Toronto, which he didn't want to go to Toronto.
Hmm.
Now he's a free agent, and he gets to choose where he's going. And now he's interested in the Clippers and the Lakers or re-signing with the Raptors. Clearly conflicted. He's on game six of free agency. And you're going to rip him to shreds for joining the Lakers where he requested to go originally?
Yeah.
What? Here's the issue with it. There's the big issue with it all. Since KD left Golden State, they need a new villain in the NBA. Here's an idea. How about not Kawhi? Because Kawhi is just going home to his family, whether it's the Clippers or the Raptors or the Lakers. The only reason why he would be hated for going to the Lakers is because they already have two stars. He's already won titles. He's not chasing titles. He demanded to go to the Lakers originally.
Yeah.
Imagine if someone demanded to go to Boston and then somebody trades him to, like, the fucking Nuggets or something. So then he's in the Nuggets organization, but he really just wanted to go to Boston. Then the Boston Celtics acquire, say, we go back a couple years, they get Kyrie, and then fucking, I don't know, they sign Gordon Hayward or something, and they have a good team, and that team still wants, he still wants to go to the Celtics, so he joins the Celtics. Why would he be,
yeah,
why would that be bad? He wanted to go to the Celtics. He's from Boston. He's a hometown kid, played for, I don't know, fucking Boston College or something. And then he gets traded to the team he didn't want to play for, and then he joins the team he plays for in free agency because he has the power to do that. What? Here's an idea. How about if he joins the Lakers, the new villain is LeBron? How about that? Does that make more sense? I think that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Because LeBron essentially forced the Pelicans' hands. They had demands where Anthony Davis was only going to sign a max with the Lakers. Every other team, it would be a one-year rental. Rich Paul kind of forced their hand. And then the Lakers offer like an arm and a leg for Anthony Davis. But then their owner, their petty-ass GM is just like, nah, sorry, fam. I'm not gonna accept seven players and like fucking 17 draft picks. So then they say no. And then in the offseason, when they get a competent GM, they trade him for, you know, Lonzo, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, and, you know, the fourth pick, yada, yada, yada. And that was a good – we talked about that on the show last week. That was a good move. And then he recruits Kawhi. So now LeBron James, who joins the Lakers, then has Anthony Davis and Kawhi next to him.
Yeah.
And it's going to be all about LeBron. Because it's always all about LeBron. He controls the narrative. So he is the new villain again. And he fits the villain role so well. When he was in Miami, I fucking hated LeBron. I really, if I saw him in the street, I would have punched him in the face. I hated LeBron then.
Yeah.
Now looking back, it was interesting. But, you know, granted, if they lose the title next year, he's just going to look like a fool again. He'll be 3-7 in the finals. Oof. That's a tough resume right there.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, the NBA offseason is undefeated. Also, DeMarcus Cousins is still on the market. The Lakers are interested in him. So are the Celtics. He has a meeting with the Celtics. If I'm the Celtics, I think I go after DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins is cheap, low risk, high reward kind of guy. He's probably a better fit than Enes Kanter. He's a better talent than Enes Kanter, I should say. But I don't know. What do you think about that?
I mean, I guess it'd be interesting to see where it goes. A lot of people say they underperformed this past season with Golden State. But then again, they had a really stacked roster. So it's really hard to match up with, like, for example, Steph Curry and, you know, some of their other players. But honestly, it would be interesting to see that. I wouldn't mind. As long as, you know, he fits the chemistry well. He you know, blends with the other players well. With the people we're picking up in free agency, I'm just worried about a Kyrie part two, you know, where you get this really big ego, you know, who can't lead a team.
But he would be on a one-year deal, and he would definitely not be the leader. It would be Kemba.
Yeah, yeah.
So he would be, like, essentially for a a mid-level exception, you get somebody who's an all-star, can block shots, can get rebounds. And it seems like his ego's been kind of erased because, I mean, if I'm looking at the DeMarcus Cousins thing, he's played for three teams. One of them was Golden State, where he didn't really have any issues with Golden State. He was really recovering from an Achilles injury. He came back and was pretty useless in the NBA playoffs, but he also was playing in Golden State, where it doesn't really fit his style.
Hmm.
With the Pelicans, he didn't really have any issues. Him and Anthony Davis were good friends. Then Sacramento, his big issue was with George Karl, who has always had issues with players because he's one of those hard-nosed coaches that, you know, just gets under people's skin.
Mm.
So I kind of feel like his whole ego thing is overblown a little bit. He's definitely somewhat of a diva, but a lot of the players are a diva, you know?
Yeah.
But shifting gears to the Home Run Derby, the All-Star game is, I believe it's on Monday, July 9th, and the Home Run Derby bracket is set.
Mm.
So you have Yelich versus Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Alex Bregman versus Jock Peterson, Pete Alonso versus Carlos Santana, Josh Bell versus Ronald Acuna. The winner of Yelich Guerrero will face the winner of Bregman Peterson, and then Alonso Santana will face the winner of Bell Acuna.
Mm.
So I really like the matchups here. It's interesting seeing Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at a Home Run Derby playing, what, like 30 games already? So I want to know how that is going to transpire.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. One thing that I think is a little is Guerrero being in the Home Run Derby. A lot of it, I feel like, is just because of his name value. His father was a really successful player, so of course he's going to be there. But he only has 8 home runs this year. You know, he's not a name I'd expect in the Home Run Derby. I think there are other people who probably should have gotten that spot that have been performing well with their teams. That being said, it'll be interesting to see how this goes down. Yelich versus Guerrero is round one. I think Yelich is going to win, and by a lot. You know, Yelich is a seasoned player, you know, makes good contact. I think Yelich has that without a doubt. Bregman versus Peterson is going to be interesting. I think Alex Bregman wins that.
Interesting.
The Astros offensively have been really well this year, really well off. So I think Bregman's going to carry that into the Home Run Derby. Pete Alonso versus Carlos Santana, that's going to be interesting. Not too sure who'd win that one. I could see either one winning, but Pete Alonso, I'd probably pick.
Shocker.
Yeah. And then Josh Bell versus Acuna. I would love to see Ronald Acuna win that. So.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you have an issue with Guerrero Jr. I think it's good for the game. He is one of the most exciting prospects probably in the last 10 years, probably since the great Bryce Harper entered the league. And yeah, I think you're right. I think Yelich will win, but I don't think he's going to smack him. Guerrero Jr., his slugging percentage is .414, so it doesn't look like he's still very raw as a prospect, but he does have ridiculous power. Some of the numbers he put up in AAA were ridiculous.
Mm.
So I don't think it's going to be necessarily a sweep. But Christian Yelich has 31 dingers. And, you know, his slugging percentage is .712 right now.
Yeah.
So
it's 31 before the All-Star break, mind you.
Yeah, Christian Yelich has been an absolute machine. And it's going to be really sad if he doesn't win the MVP strictly because of how good of a season Cody Bellinger's had.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be Yelich. Bregman Peterson, I'm kind of torn on this one. I might have to go Jock Peterson. The Dodgers have had the best season. Jock Peterson's a really good power hitter. But I do like Bregman, too. Yeah, you know what? I pick Bregman, too. Yeah. Bregman is a machine. Granted, when he got hit by a pitch in the ALCS, he was a little bitch about it, but I forgive him. He's okay. Pete Alonso versus Carlos Santana. Pete Alonso is the next great power hitter in the league. He already has the most home runs by a Mets rookie. Granted, the Mets draft bums, so it's a little different. But regardless, Pete Alonso is the next great power hitter. Granted, they'll probably sell him for a bag of peanuts because that's what the Mets do.
Mm.
They're pathetic, just like the Knicks and just like the person sitting next to me in this room.
Uh-huh.
and then Josh Bell versus Ronald Acuna Jr. I might have to go Josh Bell on this one. Josh Bell's had a great season. I like Ronald Acuna Jr., but I feel like Josh Bell is a little bit of a better power hitter. So I'm going Josh Bell there. So that would set up Yelich versus Bregman and then Alonso versus Bell. So if that's what I'm doing, I think Yelich is going to take it to the final. Bregman is a good power hitter, and it's going to be great. I like what they do with the All-Star game. I'm sorry, with the Home Run Derby. I like what they've changed, so now it's timed. So it's just dinger after dinger after dinger for like 10 minutes. I think it's 5 minutes, actually, but it's ridiculous.
Mm.
And then when it comes to Pete Alonso and Josh Bell, your boy's picking Josh Bell.
Mm. Interesting. I like that.
I bet you do.
Yeah, no, it's going to be an interesting home run derby.
Interesting.
The All-Star season is always – the All-Star game is always just an awesome time of the year for the MLB. I really like the All-Star game in the MLB. In my opinion, I think it's probably the best All-Star game in American sports.
Now, that's controversial. Well, if we're ranking those four teams, those four leagues together, let's just take one of them out of the way. The NFL Pro Bowl is the worst All-Star game of the four major sports by far.
Mm.
Easily the most pathetic, awful, atrocious, meaningless, garbage game all around for everybody. None of the actual stars play it because they're playing in the Super Bowl a week later, and they don't give a fuck about making the Pro Bowl because it really doesn't mean shit.
Yeah.
Notice how Tom Brady doesn't play in the Pro Bowl, mostly. He's been to several Pro Bowls, but he doesn't play in them because he's got to play a week later and he doesn't want to get banged up by fucking Aaron Donald.
Yeah, yep.
So we'll take the Pro Bowl out of the way. The other three, they're all equally, maybe not equally, but they're all really good. I really like the skills competition in the NHL with the slap shot competition and the you know, some of the games that they have. And then the NBA has the three-point competition and the dunk contest and the I think that now they have horse and all that. So.
Yeah.
And then MLB has the dinger competition.
It has the celebrity softball game as well. That's pretty cool. They mix retired MLB players with celebrities. Like, you know, Snoop Dogg's been in it. Who was in it last year? Drew Brees was in the All-Star game last year. It's a cool time. You know, it's really funny to watch, too, because they're all mic'd up, you know. So,
if you had to rank the four sports by their All-Star game, what's your list look like?
Okay, so at the top, MLB and NBA are probably neck and neck now that I'm thinking about it, because the NBA also has a really good All-Star game. NHL is probably down below that. Okay, and then I'm going to ask you guys to try and visualize what I'm doing with my hands right now. The NFL Pro Bowl is way down below that because, like, it's just boring and meaningless.
And who the hell watches the Pro Bowl anyways?
Yeah, I've never watched the Pro Bowl.
That's easily the lowest rated NFL game of the season.
Yeah.
Not even, like, a little bit, a lot of bit. Like,
I feel like that's something they should have during, like, the middle of the regular season. Just so that way, you know, it's not a week before the Super Bowl and you have a chance to have stars playing it, you know, and they're not worried about, you know, getting injured right before the big game. So
that and nobody actually plays defense there because they're just scoring a bunch. That's all people want to see, but nobody cares about it. They just want to see the goddamn Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's just a 2 week break. I mean, I guess it's in an okay spot, but also at the same time, nobody wants to play in it if it's the teams competing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I agree with you on the Super Bowl part. I'm sorry, the Pro Bowl part, where it's like down way below. Like if I'm making, you know, my hand gestures, like the Pro Bowl is down at the ground. It's at the sewer. It's at, you know, it's scraping the barrel. It's the worst, easily the worst All-Star game in American sports.
Mm.
And then a considerable jump, the NHL All-Star game is really good. I'm contemplating putting it above the NBA.
Mm.
Because the NBA, the three-point competition's great. The dunk contest is getting repetitive. Now they're jumping over, like, fucking drones and cars and fucking all this. It's getting so much. But at the same time, the dunk competition historically is pretty great. Like Michael Jordan's free throw line dunk and Vince Sanity and all that. So interesting. Granted, the dunkers are always people that nobody cares about.
Yeah.
You never see anybody like, you know, like a Blake Griffin did go in the dunk contest, but like a LeBron James. Zion might not even compete in it next year.
Mm.
I might actually put the NHL above it. Because then they have things like the slap shot competition. You see someone like Chara have a 110-mile-per-hour slap shot. You're like, damn.
It's like, whoa.
Damn. Then they have, like, the skills competition where they're Deacon, left and right. They're going super fast.
Mm.
The MLB All-Star game, though, it's something special.
Mm.
It's like I started watching the All-Star game when I first got into baseball. I was just a kid. I was 8 years old. And I see players like David Ortiz and, you know, Manny Ramirez, Albert Pujols, Justin Verlander, people who will definitely be enshrined one day, some really great players. The home run derby is just always super exciting, lots of fun, good energy. The softball game's a lot of fun. I have to put MLB ahead, only because of, like, it's the lore that comes with it. It's the 90 years that it's been around. It's the history of it, you know?
Yeah.
It's always just like, it's always just good energy.
Yeah, it's really cool to see. You know, I remember my first home run derby watching it. I was 11 years old. It was in 2011. And David Ortiz was the American League captain for the home run team. And, yeah, that was a really fun time to watch it, you know?
I remember when Robinson Cano won the home run derby, and his dad was pitching to him.
That was awesome.
That was beautiful. You know, MLB, it's definitely a sport that you get into when you're younger, I feel like.
Yeah.
So it's something that you grow up appreciating more with age. It's kind of like fine wine.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people say it's slow, but I think the home run derby's great. And the All-Star game, especially when it was competing – like, where it was, if the NL or AL won, they owned home field advantage in the World Series. That was super interesting.
Yeah.
Because it set up making it competitive. So you'd have games that were like 4-3. You'd have Mariano Rivera closing out the All-Star game, you know, making it sweat. And then there was just like dominance. I think the AL was the one that won like 15 years in a row or something crazy like that. Some crazy stat like that. Now it's more balanced now. A lot of talent all around.
Yeah.
It's too bad my boy Bryce Harper's not going to be playing in it.
Well, you know, when you bat, you know, 180, then that's expected to happen. But, you know, whatever. Or I'm sorry, I think it's closer to, you know, like, what is it, 230 or something. But still, you know.
Yeah.
Mediocre is mediocre, so.
Yeah, at least they're not, you know, 10 games below 500.
Mm.
Yeah, fuck off, Will.
He won the home run derby last year, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And like dramatic, I think he had like 5 bombs in the last minute. Now that's somebody whose power is unmatched.
Yeah, okay.
You can hit 5 home runs in one, you know, 1 minute. That's pretty crazy. If we're updating our stance on the MLB standings, the Red Sox are a whopping 11 games behind the Yankees. 11 games behind the Yankees. Utterly pathetic. Utterly pathetic. And they're about 4.5, they're like 3.5 games behind the Rays. It's fucking garbage. Absolute trash. 2.5 games behind the wild card now. Like, what the hell is going on? Where the hell did the A's come from? The A's came out of nowhere. They're like, oh, we're still here. I don't understand Oakland either. Oakland's such a fucking shit show. But they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. The Athletics have been on fire. The Twins have kept it up. The Twins have been the best team in the Central, easily. I don't know what happened to the Indians. Goddamn.
Yeah.
Indians have been trash. Atlanta has been running away with the NL East. And now, pains for me to say this, but the Nationals are in second place. Granted, they're not, you know, 12.5 games behind like your fucking Mets are, but, you know, the Phillies are struggling right now, and it's going to be okay, boys.
Yeah, I hope that Bryce Harper contract was worth it.
It'll be worth it when they're raising a title in a couple years.
Yeah.
And the NL Central is interesting again. The Cardinals are 1.5 games behind. The Cubbies have been somewhat struggling the last 10 games. The Brewers have been, they've lost 3 straight, but always interesting. And then the fucking Dodgers have already won 60 games. They have a 4-game lead over the best record in the MLB.
Oh,
by God.
Unbelievable.
That's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Colorado has, I think Colorado has an okay record, but even they're like 14.5 games behind LA.
They're nowhere near the wild card.
Yeah.
They are, actually, no, that's not true. They're 1 game behind. Damn. They're still in it.
Yeah, they're not doing bad. It's just like, oh, no chance of winning their division. And it's not because they're a bad team. It's because LA is just, you know.
Absolutely stacked beyond belief.
It's just interesting how close the Central is, how well balanced it is. Look at Cincinnati. Even Cincinnati right now is 3.5 games below Milwaukee. They could take the division and, you know.
Logistically, they could. Do they? Or will they? No.
Nah.
I doubt it, you know. But, you know, it'd be interesting to see if that happens.
Yeah.
But also the London series happened over the weekend, and it was a slugfest. It was insane. 17-13, 12-8, 2-game series. Damn. I bet England's salivating over baseball at this point. Granted, it's not a normal baseball game. A, it's Red Sox-Yankees, and B, it doesn't score. It's never that exciting, most likely.
Yeah, but, like, you know, it was just crazy. It must have been the stadium, the way it's built, the way air travels through, that was messing with the game. Because, like, you know, balls weren't breaking, you know. But it was just crazy. Across those two games, 50 runs were scored, okay?
Yeah.
65 hits, 9 hours and 6 minutes of play time, and they had a total attendance of 118,718 fans.
Damn.
So I would consider this reach out to Europe a definite success.
Yeah.
And they've already announced next year's London series. It's going to be the Chicago Cubs versus the St. Louis Cardinals.
Ooh, okay.
So that'll be interesting.
I don't think that's going to be as high scoring.
Yeah, I don't think so, but it's interesting how they're doing it. You know, they're sending the most iconic rivalries across the pond.
How much you
want to
bet that the year after it's going to be Giants and Dodgers?
Oof, yeah, you know the Dodgers got to get in that eventually.
Of course they do. I want to say, watching the Red Sox play in there, highly frustrating.
Yeah.
Our bullpen gave up 20 of the Yankees' 29 total runs scored. Absolutely pathetic scoring.
Yeah.
Their bullpen was absolutely atrocious. Evoldi is supposed to be our closer when he comes back from his injury.
Yeah.
Which they just need anybody. Their closer situation is a complete shit show.
Yeah.
Our closing is pathetic.
I think you talked about it last week. The amount of blown saves we've given up, unbelievable.
The only team worse is the Mets. The Mets are a fucking dumpster fire. We're not.
Yeah.
We have great run production. If we can have someone shut the door like a Craig Kimbrell. Damn, I bet we miss Craig Kimbrell more than he misses us at this point.
Yeah, remember that guy?
Craig Kimbrell, the guy she tells you not to worry about? Yeah. It's an absolute mess right now. I'm so sad.
Yeah.
It's so much different watching the Red Sox this year than last year. Last year, like, we could be down by fucking 15 runs, and I'm like, okay. Where you at, boys? Where you at, boys? Where you at? Come on, boys.
We were so spoiled last year.
We so were. And now this year, we're like, here we go. It's 7-7. Watch us fucking lose again. I was with you on the 4th of July, and I couldn't watch the game because we were walking around the city, but just getting the updates and seeing, you know, we're down fucking 6-1 or whatever it was.
Mm.
And then even though we won the entire game, all the updates I'm getting pissed off. I'm like, oh, what do you know? Oh, we're finally deciding to score our fucking runs today. oh, look at that. Oh, we blew another fucking run. Oh, great. Yep.
Hmm.
Pissing me off.
Yeah.
Into the Blue Jays? Ugh. We've been spoiled from last year.
Yeah.
This year, we're lucky if we make the damn playoffs. It's pathetic. Absolutely pathetic.
Mm.
It's not even a World Series hangover. It's just our bullpen's trash. We need to literally clear house on the bullpen. Get ourselves some good arms. Get somebody like a Brad Hand or a, you know, any kind of closer that's not going to fucking wet his pants every time he faces the Yankees.
Yeah.
The Yankees are going to win they're going to win the East.
Yeah.
But, well, I think we've covered just about everything this week. Next week, we'll be recording a little earlier than usual. Our typical Thursday recording will be pushed to Tuesday as your boy Zach Jameson will be touring and doing his orientation for Boston University.
Mm.
So our show will be coming out a little earlier than usual next week. Hopefully by then Kawhi makes his decision. Seems like NBA free agency is really contingent on Kawhi making his decision. Final pick before we go. Who do you want him to sign with? Gut feeling. Who do you want him to sign
with? Who do I want him to sign with?
Yeah.
Probably the Clippers.
I'm going to say the Lakers.
Hmm.
Which doesn't mean I'm a bandwagon, doesn't mean I'm a Lakers fan now, just because I want him to go to the
Putting away his Golden State jersey, putting on that Lakers jersey.
It's just going to piss people off. It's going to get people watching the game. People love dynasties. I've had this rant so many times on this goddamn show, and everyone seems to think I'm a bandwagon because I want competitiveness. It's not that if they have those three players that they're going to guarantee win the title next year.
Mm.
Their bench is going to probably suck, but it'll make it interesting.
Yeah.
This will be the most talented roster LeBron has ever had. LeBron will be the villain again. The Lakers will be the number one villain again. It'll be interesting. I don't want parity in the NBA. I want, like, four or five teams on the cusp of winning the title.
Mm.
And if he joins the Lakers, it'll be them. It'll be arguably Golden State. The Rockets will still be in the mix. The Sixers, the Bucks, maybe the Celtics. Maybe the Celtics. That's all we really need. We don't need anybody else.
Yeah.
Maybe the Trailblazers.
Yeah.
They're still there. Nonetheless, we will see you guys back here next week on Tuesday. Spread the word for the Title Chasers podcast. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and we'd like to thank Concord TV for letting us use their podcast studio again. Awesome organization. Look them up. And yeah, take it easy, guys.
See you guys later.